Standout with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight here on Radio Kerry. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Linda O'Mahony. Linda is an accredited leadership coach, and she has a huge passion for supporting people to unleash and realise their full potential in life and work. She is the founder of her company, Leadership 360. Sit back and enjoy the show. Linda, thanks a million for coming on today. How are you?
I'm well, and Ian, feeling very privileged to be on with you. I am one of your great fans. What you do, who you are, you're truly inspiring. So for me, this is a real privilege. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks very much. I suppose with all my guests, I like to bring them back to early in their life. Do you want to, I suppose, paint a picture for the listeners? What was life like for Linda growing up?
Yeah, of course, I'd be delighted. So I'm from a little place called Mount Organ, Rathmore, or as my late dad used to call it, Ramore. Grew up in family of seven, five boys, two girls and mom and dad. Went to school, a small school, Shrone School. I remember there were six in my class, so there was three boys and three girls. So that worked out very well. I'm not sure we see many of those small schools and small classes, but still a few of them, which is great. And so went to secondary school in Rathmore. And then during school, we were all working at 12. We were all working in the local bar, the old chapel in Rathmore. There was a wonderful couple who'd come. Sean was from Carlow and Elsa from the Philippines, and we became like their family when they moved to Rathmore, and we all worked for them and moved in on summers. So yeah, so life was fabulous, and Rathmore's home, which is amazing. And even though I've travelled around, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, I'm back now in Killarney, very close to home, and still have my mum, thankfully, in Rathmore, and family as well.
Very good. You're not too far away from where I'm living.
Yeah, I understand. I'm only up the road from you now in Killarney.
Only a stone throw away, as they say. What was, I suppose, was football in your family growing up? Do you want to tell us a bit about that? Your family sports mad?
Yeah, oh, absolutely sports mad. I can't say that I got the footballing genes. I loved basketball, and I played basketball at school in Rathmore for years. Loved basketball, and if I ever had regrets, which I don't, but if I did have one, it would be that I didn't go back to basketball after school. But we were really lucky. The boys were big into their football. And in particular, Aiden, my younger brother, the youngest, the baby in our house, certainly gave all of us many, many, many years of fantastic football experience with his playing with Rathmore and playing with Kerry. Really, it was absolutely amazing. And Kieran, the second youngest, was involved in the management for a number of years as well. So my father and football was big, big in our house, and still is. And it's moved on to the next generations as well. And it's great to see, you know, some of my nieces, Katie and Molly, John's daughters, they play with Limerick now as well, underage. So it's moved on to the next generation as well. And my nephews, my Daniel plays for Knockin' Green for Cork as well. So, and he's been doing really well. So it's moved on from our generation to the next generation as well.
What was life like in school? Were you academic? Were you always kind of a driven individual?
That's an interesting question. I suppose I was. Many who know me probably won't believe. I was quiet, Ian. I would consider myself quiet as a child and grown up, and that would probably have led to the work I do today, working with others. But I loved school, yeah, and I did mind the books. And I during school, I had this thing of I wanted to be a children's nurse, and I realised today that I'm glad I wasn't, because I think, one, I'm not good with needles, and kids being upset or hurt or sick, I'd be very sensitive to. So, I did a lot of babysitting and get to spend lots of time with the gorgeous kids in my family and my extended family as well. So, that was the in school, I always thought it was going to be children's nursing, and then I thought maybe I'll go on and do psychology. And I remember my parents saying to me, you know, straight from school to do psychology, you know, would that be too much for me? And when I look back now, they were absolutely right. So instead, when I left school, I was one of those, Ian, where I wanted to go get away from home and see what it's like in the cities. And I went to Dublin and to study international marketing and languages. And I wasn't in Dublin long when I wanted to come home again. So, yeah. And when I finished my first year in college, I was pregnant, so that changed life. And as you well know, some things come to our lives and they change our lives completely. And for me, it was, you know, at the time it was quite a scary thing at 19, but actually it turned out to be probably one of the best and most life-changing moments of my life. I moved back to Kerry. Oisin was born in Dublin, my son, who's now 29. And I finished my degree in what was the IIT in Tralee then, it's now the MTU. And that was fantastic for me. I came back and I loved, the irony is, loved studying in Tralee, and I loved the degree, was really practical for me. And I got my first job, like you, Ian, my first job was in Radio Kerry. And I'm very, very thankful. Melanie O'Sullivan, who's still in Radio Kerry, was my first boss. She was amazing and still is, and delighted to say we're still friends today. So I started my journey in my career, and I'm very thankful to Radio Kerry for giving me my break a long time ago, Ian.
Melanie's a lovely girl, right? She's still
gorgeous
in Radio Kerry. You went on, were you working with the Kerry man for a while, what I've been writing?
Yes. So when I left in Radio Kerry, I went on to, I got a job with Hopkins Communications in Cork as an advertising agency. And I was there for about a year. And at the time, it was around when we were transferring to the from the pound to the euro. And I remember at the time getting the opportunity to lead out on the marketing campaign for Pat Cox, who was running for Europe. So it was like a wonderful, wonderful opportunities with the fantastic Mary Hopkins, who, again, is still a friend of mine today. And then while I was in Cork, and Oisin was young at the time, so he was with me in Cork, and my father rang me one day and he said he was reading the local newspaper, the Kerry Man, and there was a job in it and it'd be well suited for me and to come back home. So I applied for the job and got the job as advertising executive. And that started a journey of, I spent probably about 10 years with the Kerry Man. I left twice. Once was I got a call from ESAT Digiphone, which is O2 today, to see would I come and work with them as one of their business-to-business managers for Munster. So I did that, and that was amazing because they were huge into training and developing people and understanding how the mind works and understanding how to negotiate and to influence. And that definitely whipped my appetite to go back to college and learn more about that. And I also worked with the Farmers Journal in 2005 for a year as their agency manager in Dublin. And then I came back to Kerry again and worked as sales and marketing manager for the Kerrymen before I became self-employed in 2008.
And 2007, you started a coaching diploma, would I?
Yes, I did indeed. After working, you know, in O2, I really, and ESAT Digiphone, I was like, I really want to go back and study again. And yeah. 2007, I saw an advertisement for a coaching course in, it was going to be held in Tipperary, in the IT in Tipperary. And I thought, yeah, this sounded great. It was being run by Coaching Development in the UK, which were an internationally recognised organisation. So it was a 5-month coaching course. We went up, it was 4 days a month for over 5 months, and you had to build up 100 hours of coaching. And from the moment I started it, Ian, you know, when you just find something, say, this is me.
You love, yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I came home and I remember saying to my parents, and at this stage, Oisin was probably 13, 14, you know, I said, saying, I'm going to go work for myself. And my mother said, your father thinks you've lost your mind. You've got a good pensionable job. Don't you believe in that job, you know? But I did, Ian. I did, much to their dismay. But I left, and at the time, the country was going into recession, and I was working, I think I was working 50, 60 hours a week, thinking, okay, I want to do something different. I want to be work for myself. So I set up my own sales coaching business, and my timing was good. It was really lucky in that, you know, a lot of people of middle management were being let go in organizations, and I got the opportunity to go in and work with people and creating recession-proof strategies to survive and to thrive for businesses. So that was really exciting because I got opportunities in Ireland and I also worked in the UK as well. And one of my clients was the Farmers Journal, who I loved. And in 2012, Justin McCarthy, who I had worked with in the past, Justin was going in as the new CEO at the Farmers Journal. So he said, look, I'm going in as CEO. It's going to be lots of change, lots of innovation. You know, the whole landscape of media was changing. And he said, rather than come in as consultant, come in as sales director, because the sales director at the time was retiring. So I said, look, I'll do it for a year. And at this stage, Oisin was what? I think it was 18, 19. So I thought, okay, I said, I will go and work with him for a year. And I did that for 6 years. And during that time, while I worked with them, I got lots of opportunity to continue my study, Ian, because the coaching course had just whet my appetite. And I thought, okay, I really want to understand people more. I want to understand, you know, in my 20s and 30s, I had a lot of great jobs, but I probably lived on high stress. I struggled to maybe ask for help when I needed it.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, ianoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out on Radio Kerry with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Linda O'Mahony. Linda is an accredited leadership coach and she has a huge passion for supporting people to unleash and realise their full potential in life and work. She is the founder of her company, Leadership 360. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show, or you can now get this interview as well as all the shows I've done so far on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. Was it hard to balance everything going on at that time, Linda, with, I suppose, with life and with all the other things you were doing at the same time?
I suppose when I look back now, you know, I think, God, how did I do some of those things? Or, you know, why wasn't I braver to ask for help? And, you know, when I was just before my 21st, you know, Oisin was just over 18 months and we knew he wasn't reaching his milestones. And we had a trip to Crumlin and learned in Crumlin that, you know, the message on the day I was in Crumlin, Dr. McMenamin, the neurologist, I'll never forget, said, you know, there are challenges and, you know, he may never walk, talk, or go through school. You know, you need to prepare for special care. And I suppose really? I was so young. And, you know, to take all that in a way, I may not have taken it in, but I was very driven, very determined. I always was. And said, okay, we're going to not accept that and we're going to push through it. And I guess I was so, so lucky, Ian. I have an amazing family, amazing friend structure who are family to me as well. And I had lots of support. And yeah, I mean, Oisin went on. Yeah, he does live with a learning disability, but he's defied the odds. And, you know, he went through school. He walks, talks. He's a very independent boy today, a man, he'll call himself. You know, with amazing services, the Brothers of Charity, Ballacashine School, St. Ison, St. Joseph's, Tralee. There's so many, you know, people that we worked with all the way up that was fantastic. But yeah, it was hard. But I think I wanted to make it all work, and that's probably, I drove myself really hard. And you know, at the time as well, I lived with chronic pain myself, and I learned in my 30s that it was endometriosis.
Really?
And yes. So there was a few obstacles put in there, but for that, you know, 1 in every 10 Irish women in Ireland live with endometriosis. And at the beginning, the sense was, well, you know, this is something you live with. I, again, like challenging for Oisin, I thought, okay, I want to try and get to the root of this and not live a life with, you know, medication. And it took me to have 7 procedures, the final one, a hysterectomy during COVID, to end 20 years of living with that chronic pain of endometriosis. And for people listening this evening, for anyone who may be navigating endometriosis, or their sister or daughter or mother or whoever, you don't need to live with it. And in Ireland now, there is the the people and the experts to support you to end that journey and live a life beyond endometriosis.
Do you think it's like a common perspective that you have to live with it?
It is, sadly. And like I see sometimes on Facebook, and it makes me sad. I see people saying, you know, well, I've been had another procedure. I know this will just last, you know, for a short time. And then I'll be messaging saying, no, you don't need to live with it. There are people and there are experts. And, you know, for me, the Hermitage in Dublin, there was an amazing doctor, Dr. Faraz Abu Sadeh, who ended my journey with endometriosis. And my life has changed in 3 years. Like I was... have sporadically attended exercise in the last before that, whereas now I part of the Be Well gym in Killarney with Del and Nealis and all the gang, and I'm in there 3 and 4 days a week. I have cycled the Ring of Kerry, and we're hoping to consider it again this year. To exercise has become a huge part of my life. I couldn't see it or do it when I lived with endometriosis, so there's a whole new life waiting beyond people beyond it.
Just touching back when you were with the Farmers Journal back in, was it 2013, 2014?
Yeah.
I suppose back around then would, I don't want to make you feel like you're 100 years old.
Very young, Ian, very young. Touching 50 next year, very young.
But when you were with the Farmers Journal that time, was life kind of, I suppose, media journalism was changing from, I suppose, newspaper to more digital and online. How did you find that at the time? Did you, because like, it's obviously a massive, massive difference.
Huge. And this is where I suppose, I think the reason I'm self-employed again today is because of that job. When I started back with Justin, like Justin had an amazing vision for the Farmers Journal. And you know, when we started first, and he had a really great team, and the trust behind Farmers Journal were superb in terms of they want to invest in that journey of transitioning from print only to being a multi-platform business. And we, you know, the whole innovation was into ag tech. You know, they had a farm that was, you know, and they were getting a lot of content from this farm that they had as well, you know, in the whole area of the digital. And, you know, they were the first in Ireland developing, you know, the media, the print behind the paywall. And, you know, one of the things he really wanted to do was, you know, to bring the pages of the Farmers Journal alive. So one of the major sections was the whole area of recruitment. And when we looked at the whole world of ag, and, you know, you go work for someone like Massey Ferguson or someone like that, and or Bia or Glanbia, and, you know, people didn't realize actually go and work with companies like that, it actually would bring you all around the world. So one of the things that, and what was great about Justin, he would give us ownership, and he gave three of us ownership to how we brought the recruitment pages to life, is we set up a recruitment fair in the RDS. And I remember at the time we had sold lots of stands, and we'd invited RTE to attend. And with the stands, I think there's about 50 stands. And what we realized is those who were coming between them all, they'd over 1,000 jobs were going to offer on the day.
Really?
So we promoted this. And I remember the night before, Justin was saying, you know, how confident are you of people coming to this? And we were saying, we knew that, okay, if we get 3,000 or 3,500 people through the RDS on that day, you know, that everyone's needs would be met, especially those who'd invested in stands and everything. And I remember it got on the 1 o'clock news in RTE the following day that the RDS had to be closed at 12 o'clock because they had over 3,000 people already in the door. And we were running, and I think on the whole day it ran till about 7 o'clock in the evening, and it was on the 6 o'clock news as well. And it was all about that, you know, it was the Farmers Journal brought 1,000 jobs to the RDS. You know, it wasn't any political thing or anything. It was driven by the media. And I suppose they realized that sense of, you know, this was a huge industry. And they've gone on today, like I've left since 2018, and the Farmers Journal, the print, and they've got Irish Country Living. And they then, you know, in the middle of this huge challenge to print media, they launched Irish Country Magazine, which went on to be one of Ireland's top magazines. So they were really innovative. They were brave. And, you know, lots of us who've left the Farmers Journal have gone on to be self-employed, because I suppose it definitely ignited that entrepreneurial spirit, the, you know, in terms of being braver, in terms of, you know, taking those risks and going out there and making it happen. And I guess the, you know, one of the things as well, Ian, is that I always found interviews, you know, people who grew up on farms, you know, we had a small farm at home, and my dad worked in Cadbury's, and they worked very hard, and my mother worked very hard with seven kids. And so she learned that work ethic. And anybody, I always say, that grew up on a farm or grew up on a small shop or, you know, or a bar, you know, the work ethic was absolutely fantastic. They didn't do necessarily Monday to Friday 9 to 5. They did the work that needed to be done, whether it was morning or night, weekday or weekend day.
There was no Dolly Parton 9 to 5, so...
No, now what I would say is, you know, and maybe that's where things can get out of balance, you know. So today I talk a lot in my work, Ian, about, you know, I think I was one of those people, chasing the elusive work-life balance, you know, and we're going to find one these days. And it's actually during pandemic when everything stopped, I realized work-life balance doesn't exist. It's about creating what I'm now calling the integrated life. It's integrating your home life and your work life, and it's integrating it through priorities, so that you keep it in balance, and being able to negotiate what's important. And, you know, managing, we all have that please people where we want to please everyone, but it's not always possible. There are times when you have to please self, and you know, sometimes, you know, if I might find it hard to say no to you, Ian, but maybe I might need to say yes to me at times. And that is more about getting it in balance.
And it's important in that case to kind of sometimes, I suppose, be selfish and, you know, to go for yourself. Now we're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Radio Kerry. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry. Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with leadership coach Linda O'Mahony. About your career now and with Leadership 360 and, I suppose, life now, do you want to explain exactly what an executive leadership coach does?
Yeah.
Just for the listeners out there that wouldn't be completely familiar.
Yeah, I'd love to. And maybe just before I do that, you know, you mentioned there, certainly, you know, the Irish thing of, you know, kind of when we've put ourselves first, you mentioned being selfish. And, you know, thankfully today the research would say, Ian, to not self-care is what's selfish.
Yeah,
because absolutely. You know, if I keep, you know, pleasing everybody else, I can't fill from an empty cup, you know. So it's about, we've got to fill our own cup as well. And thankfully the research will say, actually, if I don't self-care, it'll emotionally leak at home, because I'll be stressed at home or I'll be stressed at work. When I look after myself, and I say looking after myself, it might be going for the gym for 40 minutes, going for a walk, going for a run, maybe making sure we're prioritizing the food we eat during the week or the sleep, you know. So, you know, I hope more and more that people are getting better and realizing when you self-care, everyone benefits.
Just to clear the head as well, like you said, out for a walk. I know for myself there, even the last, I suppose, week, 2 weeks, the longer evenings, I think it has a massive impact on my own mental health and like my own head.
Brilliant.
You know, looking out, not just sitting inside and going to work when it's dark and coming home at the dark at 4:30. Do you think that has a, I suppose, a massive effect on people's own health and mental health?
I really do, Ian, and like you, I love this time of year. I love the stretch in the evenings, the getting brighter. You know, we're coming out of, you know, and now some people will say that, you know, that the different seasons, like, you know, you look at winter, the sense of the body needs to hibernate as well, like animals do. But there is that sense of darkness and the weather isn't the best here. But whereas this time of year, and it's lovely now, you know, where you and I are living, to see people, so many people out walking, and yeah, like the challenges of mental health. And that's why walking, drinking water, you know, the simple things will help us all. Even a sense of connection, you know, when you're meeting people out and chatting, because we spend so much of our time, and I'll talk about my business now, because a lot of it is virtual. And sometimes if I don't get out for a walk with the dog, you know, I might not meet people, you know, until Aaron, my husband, comes home in the evening.
Yeah.
But you asked about my business. Yeah, so as I said to you, when I left, I came back to Kerry, and I guess, yeah, home is always home, and I'm delighted to say I came back before COVID hit, Ian. And yeah, I've always wanted to go back to being self-employed. And when I went back to study, and after studying the coaching, I went down and I studied to become an NLP practitioner, neuro-linguistic programming. Again, it's all about, you know, understanding how we think and how we feel and how that impacts how we act. I then, as somebody who always saw conflict as bad, I went on to train as a conflict mediator to understand conflict mediation. And then as part of Farmers Journal, I was really lucky to attend Smurfit, and I did a master's in leadership and management practice. And when I came back to Kerry, I was like, okay, bring in a blend of all that. How do I blend all my learning with the experience I had? And I suppose a lot of my reflection, Ian, was when I look at me in my 20s and 30s, the stressed out manager who struggled to ask for help, who was go, 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 was, you know, managing being a single parent and managing, I moved around a few times and thought, okay, how can I help people, you know, get support and ask for help earlier and maybe live a life of more success and less stress a lot earlier than I did. And so I started working with companies, and I also worked with a colleague of mine who we had trained in coaching together, and developed a leadership program. And that leadership program going really well before COVID hit. I was really excited that I was going to be traveling. I remember I had trips planned to China, to Munich, and to Boston. And the naivety of life, where with Aaron, my husband, we were planning which trip he'd come and join me on. And then, as you know, 3 years ago in March 2020, when COVID hit, in 24 hours, I saw all my business disappear. And I was only Leadership 360, was just 9 months up and going. And yeah, in 24 hours, business gone. And Aaron came home 2 days later saying, okay, looks like my business is going to go as well. So we had to dig deep in terms of, it was quite a stressful time. We just bought a new house. And when people were talking about lockdown one being absolutely amazing, for me, it, and for Aaron, it was really, really stressful. We'd lost our work. Thankfully, the bank was very kind to freeze our mortgage. And I remember I was one of the first people, I was tested for COVID at home, where they came in and they suited up in one room and you wait in the other, and Aaron waiting upstairs. And I remember
frightening to think back now, Linda, like what we went through.
Frightening, because I remember sitting that evening just crying in the room, and I remember Aaron being really upset upstairs. He was really worried. And then we waited at home for a month for me to get the negative results. But, you know, we laugh now, but we didn't laugh at the time. And you know, for months, like, you know, Aaron is a gifted carpenter, so we had a big lawn out the back, so he built the most amazing shed and deck out the back of our house. And meanwhile, I was indoors, and I was looking at, you know, a lot of my leadership training is all about, you know, looking at self-awareness, Ian, you know, how do we unleash the best version of ourselves, you know, working on how we communicate, looking at our strengths, and maybe under pressure how our strengths become stretches. And I thought, okay, Linda, start applying your work to yourself. So I recreated my leadership program. I run a 12-week leadership program online, and I was working with the SkillNets groups in Ireland, and one of the SkillNets, ITAG in Galway, D said, look, you know, we'll pilot one of the programs, and piloted that program, and delighted to say now 3 years on, I'm delivering those programs. So sometimes they're delivered in Ireland, sometimes thanks to Zoom, where they're being delivered across Europe, Asia, the States. I work all over the world now, and sometimes I don't need to leave my home. I could be 6 o'clock in the morning delivering a program in Singapore because they're 8 hours ahead, or
that's
in the
a nice time difference waking up to talk to someone on the other side of the world.
You know what, in the beginning, and this is where I'm thankful of the exercise, that I've started getting into 7 a.m. exercise. So when I had started getting up at 5:30 for, you know, to turn on to Zoom for Singapore, and you know, I was also mindful from the beginning, adjusting to the language and understanding, you know, that and the time zone. You know, it takes adjustment. But to be honest, Ian, when you've gone to a place where you've lost all your business and there's no income coming in, you are so grateful that I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the work. And you know, it adjusts. And we're probably lucky, Aaron and I, we're morning people. We've no problem getting up and clocking in at 6 in the morning, and then we're probably in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
I was reading online about your business, Leadership 360, and do you want to explain your mantra to me? A little theory and a lot of practice. Do you want to explain that? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I suppose again, I go back to I was the client, you know, that I work with today, you know, and you know, for a lot of people, you attend lots of programs, and people come on my leadership programs, and on I'll always say to people, look, you know, this is not a lecture for 12 weeks. If it was, you could go in, I could recommend the leadership books for you. Yeah. But you know, people will say to me, well, I've done all the leadership programs, and I always say, you know, knowledge. People say knowledge is power. I see it differently. I would say that it's applied knowledge is power. So I work with people and say, okay, so let's work on the self-awareness piece, or we look at how we communicate. So for example, in the whole area of transaction analysis, which I've studied, is all about how we communicate, Ian, and we all communicate through one of four communication mindsets daily. Three of them are unhealthy and one of them is healthy. Brilliant. So then I work with people to become aware of, you know, considering that 93% of our communication is nonverbal. That's proven. Only 7% are words. So I get people in between the workshops saying, okay, I want you to pay attention to you and where the situations that you might be spilling over into one of those unhealthy windows of communication, and, you know, really self-reflecting, and I'm supporting them then, or maybe some of them are navigating, you know, what we call unhealthy conflict. There's also a healthy conflict, I realize now, where that sense of, you know, I say to people simple things, the theory would be, you know, taking out the words I disagree and replacing it, I see it differently, and supporting people with frameworks to navigate and have the tough conversations, which have to happen sometimes, you know, those courageous conversations. So that's what I mean by I give them the theory, but I give them practical frameworks. And I say to people, for me, it's about take the framework and practice. Then we'll have one-to-one coaching sessions where we'll check in and see. So for example, I was working in Galway with a group of 13 people yesterday, and we were talking about the whole area of managing people and how to get the best out of people. And I talked them through a structure of how to coach people and how to lead with questions and what it means to actively listen, to really understand and influence people. And they've each taken away a challenge for the next 4 weeks with their teams in terms of one thing they're going to change. And then we'll meet one-to-one and we'll work through what challenges came up for them, what worked well for them. Because I'm all into, let's look at your strengths and your stretches. Sometimes people come and say to me, well, on this program, I'm going to be looking at my weaknesses. I say, there are no such things as weaknesses. We all have strengths and stretches. And it's how do I lean in more of my strengths and lean, you know, I'm conscious of when those strengths become stretches under pressure. What do I need to implement? How do I need to, you know, for example, Ian, one of the big things I'm working with senior leaders and directors now, where I'm saying, building in a pause to stop, you know, the research of Kevin Cashman in the Pause Principle, he talks a lot about, you know, for leaders, if you want to be really effective and really successful in life and in business today, you've got to build in pause. Yeah. But we're hotwired for busyness, go, 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 go. The research shows that if you think of, when I talk about pause, I'm not talking about taking days and weeks. 15 minutes is 1% of our day.
It's crazy, you know, when you think of it like that.
It's absolutely crazy. So 15 minutes. So like I work with stressed out directors who say to me, well, I don't have time for a lunch. And I say, well, if you don't make time for your health, you're going to be forced to make time for your illness.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's down to those basic things. And the theory part is I'll give people the research. And sometimes it might sound frightening for them, but I'm saying it's not my intention not to frighten. My intention is to bring into awareness, to bring in that sense of enlightenment, so that people, you know, and Jerry, Jose and Miriam that I work with a lot, they, like Jerry is passionate about, you know, he talks about, you know, what we call win in terms of what's important now. And he and Miriam will talk about, you know, if we win the first 15 minutes of the day, that 1% of the day, there's a great chance you'll win the first hour.
That's
a great
awesome.
Chance you'll win the morning and win the day. Thinking about, you know, he'll talk a lot about what you put into your body. So in the morning, and I know I was, you know, and can be sometimes, go for a coffee. So, you know, and sometimes it's just having hot water and lemon, kicking off the metabolism first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
A simple practice, yet a powerful practice.
Now we're going to go for our last ad break. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because there's lots more to come in the last part of the show. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry. Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out on Radio Kerry with me, Ian O'Connell, the last part of the show. What's your opinion on, I try to do it myself after every day, but what's your opinion on journaling and, I suppose, reflecting on your day at the end of the day? You know, you'd see journals out there, you write down one thing you learned, one thing you're grateful for. What's your input on that.
Brilliant, and I'm delighted you asked that question. I'm passionate about journaling. My friends will tell you I love all these diaries and I have all these different notebooks. And why, I guess for me, and it sounds like it's worked for you as well, is, you know, yeah, we mentioned the gratitude earlier.
Absolutely. And,
you know, you can get to the end of the day, we can be exhausted. And I know that my family, some of my family do this, where they talk about, you know, three things they're grateful for in the day. It's a great way to start your day and a great way to close your day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, energy flows where thought goes. That's proven. So if I'm thinking, okay, what am I grateful for today? When I wake up in the morning, now my energy is starting to channel into a positive place. That sense of can do, will do. At the end of the day, you know, when we get to that close in the day, if I'm reflecting on, you know, what I'm grateful for today, it's amazing that you know, press that pause, that 15 minutes at 1%. What am I grateful for? That's what you're feeding your mind as you're going to bed. Too many of us, even in the morning, we wake up, and I'm sure as listeners who are listening today, we reach over for the phone and we start inhaling the negative news. We look for that negative news. We're looking on Instagram and we're comparing ourselves and we're into that space of stress, you know, already. And if you look at, again, I suppose I love the research part, because when you have the research, it demonstrates that this works, is that, you know, we don't learn from experience. We only learn when we reflect on experience. And that's where journaling comes in. You know, what worked well? Sometimes when we can come out of a difficult period in life and say, okay, so, you know, let's look and find what might have gone well. Just pick one thing that went well, even in difficult conversations. And then the what did I learn? And in what did I learn, what do I need to do differently tomorrow, next week, next, you know? So find simple questions that work for you and add in the gratitude piece. A lot of the work I'm doing with people is that, you know, if you're living in your comfort zone all the time, Ian, the danger is if I stay too long in my comfort zone, I might think it's, yes, it's familiar, it's safe, but there's no growth in the comfort zone. And if I'm not growing in the comfort zone, that over time, that I'll start to lose my confidence. So I look at, let's say, the work I do today, and people say to me, why are you forever reading all these additional books? Or why are you constantly attending more courses? And I'm saying, for me, it's about always stretching out our comfort zone, because I want to stay relevant. I want to stay up to date with what people are doing. And, you know, in her book, Edith Eger, who survived the concentration camps, she talks about, she has two beautiful books, The Gift and The Choice. And she talks about, you know, it's so important to be challenging ourselves and pushing out the comfort zone. And she says, you know, if we're not pushing out our comfort zone, we will revolve, not evolve. And life can lose its spark. And if we're, and I'm talking about little things, it can be, you know, so for me, you know, I was explaining to you at the beginning, I was, the last 5 days, I had the privilege of being on a wellness retreat in Portugal with Miriam and Jerry Hussey and 50 others. And, you know, Jerry talked about, you know, what we find difficult or what we resist, we need to lean into. And for me, the thing on holidays, was on the retreat, was yoga. Yoga, I love exercise, but yoga is a challenge for me. So I've made a commitment to my two friends on the retreat, Caroline and Emma, that I am going to sign up for yoga, and I am going, that's my next stretch out of my comfort zone.
So the whole point, you know, Kerry, heard that, Linda. can't go back on your word now.
Yeah, and I went on and I see that I've no excuses, because I'm checking Be Well and there's two yoga classes there. So Adele and Niels will hear this now as well. So I've no excuse, but it is that, it's that sense of me constantly. And I guess for me, Ian, is as well, as I'm big into ethically, morally living what I ask my clients to live. Yeah. So that if my client's saying, well, where's the evidence of you pushing out your comfort zone? You know, and the last thing I'll say in it is that, you know, there is no growth in the comfort zone, and there is no comfort in the growth zone, but the magic happens in the growth zone. And as you know, if you're constantly, and I see, this is what I am really inspired by you, Ian. I saw you last week when you put up your posts about, you know, hitting the light switch. You know, to me, that's really inspiring, encouraging, and it's absolutely living where the magic is outside the comfort zone.
To push on and get uncomfortable.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Absolutely, 100%. Before we finish up, I want to ask you, what's the, or is there a main, I suppose, after coming out of COVID now and the pandemic and stuff, everybody was, I suppose, there was a lot of different problems, mental health and everything. What's the biggest, I suppose, factor and indicator in things that you come across yourself as a coach? What's the, I suppose, the most common reason that people aren't reaching their full potential? Is it something to do with mental health? Is it something, can it be something to do with, I suppose, something in the family? What would be the main cause of someone not reaching their highest potential?
Can I first of all say, Ian, you ask the most amazing questions. I'm somebody who loves questions, and you ask brilliant questions.
Thank you.
So what is it? I guess there's a number of factors, and I want to answer that question with respect, because, yeah, I'm always saying, you know, push ourselves out of our comfort zone. And for some people, you know, maybe going through really, really, you know, tough times, and, you know, where, as you well know, you know, when we get really challenged in life. So I want to say with respect, I guess, for me, the thing about pushing out of the comfort zone is it's the mindset is the first thing, as you know. And, you know, when I'm in my comfort zone, I can be in a fixed mindset. And it's about shifting the mindset to asking us more questions, bringing curiosity. What if? And we're talking about 1% increments. I'm not saying, you know, go run a marathon next week. I'm talking about just look for, you know, again, in Atomic Habits, they talk about those 1% improvements, you know, every day. And maybe a few things to do. One of the things that you mentioned, the pandemic there, the biggest thing I learned in the pandemic was the people I surround myself with, Ian. And we are an average of the five people we surround ourselves with, or the five people or groups. And it's really essential to, you know, when people talk about attitude, I always say, reflect on my attitude. Is my attitude worth catching? Am I, you know, supporting me to come out of my comfort zone? Am I supporting my family and friends around me? And what are the supports? I mean, I'm really lucky. I have the most amazing husband. We only got married last July. So Aaron is great. He really challenges me to be the best me every day. I have the best family who, you know, who will inspire me and drive me on. I have the most amazing friends. And then I have groups, like I'm part of you mentioned the whole mental and emotional health. I'm part of the Soul Space community, which is run by Jerry and Miriam Hussey. And that's fantastic, because again, it supports us, because yeah, there sometimes when we're getting out of our comfort zone, there's a huge thing that line between comfort and growth is fear. And that fear, you know, if you look at it as an acronym, it's false expectations appearing real. And it's with the support of others that we get to a place of feeling energized and ready instead. So make sure you build your supports around you for your mental and emotional health. Having, you know, that the gym for me is a great support. The family supports are really important. And then the business supports as well are really important in terms of where are your support network. You know, we're in Kerry at the moment. We're about to, because when I moved back to Kerry and coming out of the pandemic, one of the things is when you work by yourself and you're working alone, you know, having a business support as well is really important. And I'm delighted and excited to say that coming up in the next few months, there's the business group in Ireland, Network Ireland, which is for women in business. We're going to be launching that in Kerry as well. So very excited for that in the next few months. And again, really? It's a support structure. So really looking forward to that. And I've agreed and a privilege to be their first president when it starts and launches here in June. But my reason for telling you all of those, Ian, is when I was in my 20s and 30s, probably the thing that was stopping me from getting my comfort zone at that time was I saw asking for help as a weakness. I now realize asking for help is a strength, and that's what helps me to get from the comfort zone to the growth zone, where I live from a place of, you know, greater challenge, greater energy, greater satisfaction and fulfillment every day. Not always easy, but it does get easier, and it leads to a life of being of greater fulfillment. I see my son do it as well in terms of how he's pushed through. You know, if we were to go with the fixed mindset of what the challenges he'd been presented with, but because we pushed him out of his comfort zone, he continues to do it. He's lived a life more than and he is living a life more than what it could have been.
Very good. Linda, I really enjoyed that chat, and I know the listeners will be listening as well, and they're going to enjoy it. So thanks so much for coming on today, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
And Ian, please keep driving on in what you do. Your message, you know, that if you can't stand up, stand out. I hope you realize the impact that's having on a global sense, and keep driving on, because you are amazing.
Thank you, Linda. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. Thanks a million to Linda for coming on and sharing her story. I hope you all enjoyed the interview as much as I did. If you have any suggestions, questions, or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or drop me an email at my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie.